Ty Brady here with Brady Insurance Marketing in the Ty Brady Way. As a successful entrepreneur myself, I'm passionate in helping other entrepreneurs do the same as they rise from rags to riches and get inspired each week on the stories they tell here at the Ty Brady Way. Today, I'm excited to welcome John Woolley, correct? Sometimes I get it wrong. People know that I'm a little dyslexic, so I work through it. But John, you and I got connected here recently, and I really appreciate taking the time to be on the show today. And you've got some passions, and I'm excited to tell our audience, you know, what you're doing. But how did you get, first of all, what's your backstory? So, you know, why you're so passionate about what you're going to tell everybody here in just a minute. So yeah. Why are you so passionate about what you're getting ready to roll out here?
So first of all, I'm the CEO of Vamos Health. We provide primary care services to everybody, but focused on Hispanics. And I got into healthcare for one major reason, and that was my son.
Oh.
So he was born, he's 14 now, he's doing great, but he was born with really severe epilepsy. And this was pre-ACA, you know, I was in school. We didn't have insurance.
That's like
I was an idiot.
They what is it? They shake or whatever, or
yeah.
Sleeping. Which one is it?
They're shaking, seizures.
Yeah, okay, seizures. That's the word I was looking for.
30 to 50 a day, and you know we were terrified. New parents are generally pretty terrified, but we were especially terrified and didn't have insurance. And we got this real up close and personal view about how broken the healthcare system is today. And so that motivated me to dedicate my career and my time to healthcare. There's a lot of ways that it can improve, and there's a lot of great people out there that are doing things to improve it. The second thing is related to treating the Hispanic population. I served a Latter-day Saint mission in Chicago working with the Spanish-speaking population and saw that for a lot of people here in the United States, it's really, really hard to find how to get good coverage, good care. Even in English, it's hard. And if English isn't your primary language, it's all that much more difficult.
Sure.
So that's how I got involved in what we're doing.
You know, I want to dig into epilepsy for just a minute because I have a sister that's had 8 or 9 surgeries, brain surgeries.
Yeah.
And I have a nephew, same thing.
Yeah.
And what my sister tells me is if my two parents have the same gene, it's possible to carry down, what is that, hereditary.
Yeah.
So my one nephew's had brain surgery and he's paralyzed on one side.
Yeah.
But, I mean, how did you get your son through that and a little bit of a fight through that journey?
Well, I ended up being able to get a job so I could get group insurance. That turns out that was helpful.
Yes. But it doesn't pay everything.
Doesn't pay everything. I still remember before we had figured out the insurance, I got a bill from the hospital for $250,000.
Oh,
with a little sticky note that said, give us a call. Anyway, we figured it out. That turns out kids were covered for the first month of their mother's insurance. And then I was able to get group insurance, et cetera. He then tried 7 different medications.
Yeah.
He tried a therapeutic diet called the ketogenic diet. That helped some. But at the end of the day, really due to the diligence of my wife, we were at a phenomenal academic medical center. She went to a number of different ones. All along this journey, they were doing MRIs to see if there was something structurally wrong with his brain.
Yeah.
And, you know, the last one he had, he's about a year old, and the radiologist came back and said, sorry, there's nothing we can do. We took that same disc to the Cleveland Clinic in Ohio. 3 weeks later, he had surgery. His last seizure was when I was putting him on the operating table. He's 14 months old. So,
wow.
He's doing great today. He has a little bit of, you know, paralysis on the right side of his body.
Because it took part of the brain out.
Mm-hmm.
So I work with my nephew. He's thriving. He lives in Ohio, right, with my sister. But she's done the same thing. You know, like, how do I help? He does horse therapy and, you know, they did multiple surgeries trying to get the paralysis back. But then my other sister, she's not doing so well.
Yeah.
It's she's in a care facility, but she has the epilepsy plus, you know, strong personality and up and down like this, like emotions, right?
Yeah.
So is your son, obviously thriving now? And
he's thriving and doing great. He's a jazz musician savant, actually. And he's really fun. He plays jazz music with one hand. And
So, but he only did, you just did the one surgery. Does he take any ongoing medicine or he?
He stayed on seizure meds for about 2 years after the surgery.
Okay.
And after that, we got him off the meds and he's been fine ever since. It's truly been a miracle.
Wow. But
happens for a lot of kids.
Sure. It's pretty more common than you think, I think.
Yeah.
I had no idea. So you've got a passion for healthcare.
Yes.
But you're not a doctor, right?
No, I am not a doctor. As I got into healthcare,
yeah.
And I was a consultant at the Boston Consulting Group for a number of years. And I saw that there's a lot of solutions to healthcare. One that's really not being used as well as it should is high quality primary care, doing preventative care that, you know, prevents, you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of treatment. And so the primary care system in America, for a number of reasons, is under-resourced. And at the same time, it's really a big piece of the solution to solving a lot of the problems we have.
Well, most of the insurance plans that people get nowadays, the preventative care is included. And when you say that, they're trying to catch diseases quicker and faster.
Yeah.
They'd rather catch cancer at level one than a level three.
Yeah.
Because it's harder to treat and the outcome could be worse.
Yeah. The payers have really latched onto this. And I think you know better than I do, but you'll see plans with zero copay primary care visits. They're not only do they pay for preventive screenings, a lot of times they'll pay you for preventative screenings. And they're really figuring out that that's the solution.
Yeah.
So.
Well, if we're going to control healthcare, we know healthcare is going like this, right? Kind of like inflation, that we've got to catch it quicker and those diseases. One of the things that's happened recently, at least in my industry, you and I may have talked about this, is that the sad thing is during COVID, people didn't do those preventative screenings.
I know.
Now they're going back to the doctor to do those preventative screenings because if it wasn't medically necessary, they stayed away
because
of COVID. Now they're saying we're catching cancers at an all-time high because they waited. And the level they're catching, it's a level two or level three or level four because they waited.
Yeah.
And so that critical element is important, right? That preventative service. And it all starts with the primary doctor.
You know, another piece, it's interesting because, so I spent a very brief amount of time working in Africa, in Lesotho, which is a little country that's totally within South Africa. And I worked with a group called Partners in Health that was delivering incredible health outcomes for 20% less than what the government was paying. It's Africa, so most healthcare is through the government. And nobody could figure out how they were doing it. And how they were doing it was a very involved community health-based primary care model where they would do screening. So, you know, I go there because, so their problems were maternal health, right? Childbirth challenges. HIV and tuberculosis. And if somebody got a cough in a village, this clinic would go and they'd make them spit in a cup and they'd see if they had tuberculosis. And if they did, they would make sure they got the right meds and knew how to take them. The US is no different. It's just different diseases. Instead of tuberculosis and maternal health, we're worried about diabetes.
Yeah.
We're worried about kidney disease, heart disease, liver disease. But it's the same idea. If we can catch those things early, you know, the equivalent of spitting in the cup for tuberculosis, mm-hmm. we can help people stay healthier, happier, longer, and avoid a lot of pain and suffering.
I see where the passion comes from. So now you own a healthcare facility.
Yeah.
How did you get to that point? Because obviously you went from, I got passionate about healthcare because your son working through those issues. What was the in-between time to where you're at now?
Yeah. So as I mentioned, I worked in consulting. I did a brief stint in Africa, and in the global health world, working for a big NGO that helps fight AIDS, TB, and malaria. I really got deep into the primary care world working for a company called Oak Street Health.
Okay.
I was their head of growth for a number of years.
Yeah.
They are a phenomenal organization. They're focused on Medicare patients.
Yeah.
And delivering better care to improve outcomes and reduce costs.
Yeah.
And so that's, I'd say that's really where I got a lot of my chops in the world of healthcare. I left healthcare briefly and worked for an airline for a couple of years, but then came back working with, I met a physician through a mutual acquaintance in Arizona. And this physician, David Hatfield, one of the best doctors I've ever known and worked with. Incredible on culture, outcomes, knowing how to run an organization. He had a series of clinics that were providing just phenomenal health outcomes, but he didn't know how to get with the payers to get the right contracts or how to grow his business. So we partnered together, and I helped with the payer part and the growth part, and he did the clinical part, among other things. And so we grew his business. We tripled the size of his Medicare panels in about a year and a half.
Wow.
And then we were purchased by another big primary care company called Village Medical, or Village MD, out of Chicago, which is another phenomenal organization. So I worked for them. I managed the West Coast or Western United States for them for about a year and a half. And then was a stay-at-home dad for about a year, which was the hardest job I ever had.
Oh, I,
by far. Mm-hmm. I, you know, my prior job, people listened to what I say. They cared. I felt like I knew what I was doing. Then I was at the very bottom of the learning curve again. And, you know, no positive feedback as a parent, right?
Wow. So you come up with this dream that you want to own. You have a model where you want to help more Hispanic people.
Yes.
I think the area where you're doing it is very needed. How did that evolve?
Yeah. So I've been dreaming about this. I still remember in 2014, I was at a gas station. I remember the exact moment. I was at a gas station, putting gas in the car, and thinking, we need a primary care model that caters to Spanish speakers. And I've kind of been thinking about it ever since, but it really wasn't until more recently that it sort of became real.
Yeah.
And so I've worked to bring a lot of the old team together. We've brought in some really phenomenal providers and other professionals, and we're launching on May 6th.
That's your grand opening?
That's the grand opening.
That is awesome.
So,
you know, it is such a needed, but we talked about preventative screenings, how important that is.
Yeah.
The one thing I would say with preventative screenings is when somebody goes to the doctor, they have to be willing to open up to the doctor.
Correct.
Not everything's easy to talk about, right? But that's a safe place.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, but I've never dealt with the Hispanic culture and like I can't even communicate with them, but how would you describe that process, or how do we get them to, I mean, a lot of them won't even come to the doctor or go to the doctor. They never had it.
Trust is the entire secret. It's the name of the game. So outcomes are 2.5 times better if there's a trusting relationship between the provider and the patient. So really, it's how do you build that trust? And we have a couple of unique things that we do to do that. First of all, speaking the language, right?
Sure.
Being fluent in Spanish is really important. It's harder to go through a translator, or particularly in today's world, it's often a remote translator on a screen, even more distant, or people have to bring their children to translate for them.
And may not tell their parent, tell their kids what's really going on, right?
That's a hard thing. Right?
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. The second thing is there needs to be a personal relationship between the patient and the practice. And ideally it's with the provider, but it can be with other people as well. So one of the things that we're putting in place is a team of patient navigators, community health navigators. And these act effectively as a concierge, so that unlike a typical doctor office where you call and leave a message and they call you back, we pick up the phone, we solve your problem, and it's your person. You know, you, Ty, I'd be your navigator. You'd call me. You'd know my name. I'd know you.
Yeah.
I'd know your family. I would help with non-medical things if you needed help connecting with legal aid or housing assistance or a food bank. My job would be to connect you with those resources.
Yeah.
And that's A, to help improve your health outcomes, but B, to improve trust so that when I then ask you, hey, you really need to get your colonoscopy, which like nobody wants to get ever, right?
No.
you're going to listen to me because you trust me because I've helped you out.
Yeah.
So.
But it's a critical component. I mean, you've got to have a safe place to live, right? You've got to have food on the table. I mean, all those are components of outcomes. We talk about people dealing with anxiety and depression. And, you know, those are real things.
Real things.
And they have to be dealt with.
Yeah.
So somebody's going to come into your clinic. They'll be assigned a navigator. Obviously, they're going to talk to a primary care doctor. But, I mean, where do you see it evolving? I mean, I could see it more than just Hispanic people, honestly.
Oh, absolutely.
Anybody, you could do like, I mean, was the other languages. I mean, the lady that does my nails and my pedicures, I mean, they speak Chinese or Mandarin or whatever, but they speak English, but I could see them needing to have that help.
Absolutely. We're starting with Spanish speakers. It's the largest immigrant population in the United States.
Uh-huh.
And there's just a huge need, but I see us evolving into helping out other cultures, people, everybody, right? And just because we speak Spanish doesn't mean we don't speak English.
Yeah.
And I think one of the other things that, you know, so much of the healthcare system is evolved around billing.
Oh.
And it creates all sorts of bad incentives. So for instance, my daughter just got a sleep study and they called me and said, hey, we have your results. And I said, that's great. What are they? And they said, oh, we can't tell you. Sorry. Like, what do you mean you can't tell me?
They want to get you back in the office.
We got to get you back in the office. Okay. Well, when can I get an appointment? Well, it's a month and a half out.
Oh.
Okay. So I'm like pulling my hair out.
Anxious to know the results.
Just tell me, right? Yeah. I'd like to know. But you can't because it's based around billing. And that provider needs to make, you know, do for him too, right? So that's fine. One of the unique things about Vamos is we are subscription-based or direct primary care. So you pay a monthly subscription.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can come in whenever you want. And you can also access us via text, via phone call, and of course, video telehealth, or come into the clinic. And what that does is it makes healthcare way more convenient, which again, increases outcomes. Trust.
And outcomes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And outcomes. So, and all that because we don't have to worry about billing the visit in the same.
So I have a near and dear story to me that I was just thinking about. So the lady that does my pedicure and manicures, they're not very good right now, but we were talking about what I did for a living, you know, she's like, hey, well, all the ladies here are 1099. They don't have insurance.
Yeah.
So the one lady was telling me a story about how she took her daughter to the emergency room with a $7,000 bill. She was paying it. She was paying as she goes. The other lady is like, I've never had insurance. I'm 42 years old. I said, well, listen, it's open enrollment. We can get you on a plan.
Yeah.
So I got all three of them that didn't have insurance on insurance. The one lady was able to get insurance for her doctor or for her daughter and her. And then the lady that didn't have insurance, get this, she went into to do her primary screening because she wasn't feeling very well. Cancer.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
She's going through it right now.
If she hadn't caught it then.
No, that's right. She's like, I just thought I had, you know, female issues. And she's like, no, it was cancer. They went and did the biopsy and took it all out. Now she's on the backside of it. And now she's cancer free. But I'm like, it gives me chills just thinking about it because she finally went to the doctor because she had insurance. She had an option.
She had
some. Now they have to be Asian, but it's the same principle.
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, we really play in that world that we can work with people that are on ACA plans.
Mm-hmm.
We also we've been working a lot with employers that may offer insurance and either they're self-insured and they want to save money by investing in primary care, or they offer insurance and it's hard to get people to adopt it.
Sure.
So this serves as an alternative that providers can go to employers can go to that's a lot cheaper than the traditional insurance, and then self-insured people. One of the services that we'll then be providing is people come in, they don't have insurance. Part of the job of this navigator is to refer them to someone like Brady Insurance Marketing.
Yeah.
And
see if we can get them on a plan.
That's right. Because it's better if you have insurance.
Absolutely.
Believe me.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, I was listening to an ad this morning is there's zero cost health insurance plans if they qualify, right? There's things where they can get zero deductible plans, right? They can get on them all year round if their income meets a certain limit or if they move or change addresses. So it's worth having that call or that conversation, right?
Absolutely.
With one of your navigators to say, hey, here's what we may be able to do. Not going to hurt them.
That's right.
The other thing is I've heard is that the relationship used to be, my dad would never go to the doctor.
Yeah.
He would never go to the doctor unless he was sick, right?
Unless he was,
it was like, you go to the doctor if you're sick, right? Healthcare is changing to the point where that relationship with a doctor, that trust, that relationship has to be there so that you'll get those screenings. And so you could, the outcome is to live a happier, healthier life.
Yeah.
It's sad when I meet with somebody and they can't even get out of a couch, off a couch.
Yeah.
And they may be 55 and it breaks my heart because I'm 45 and I'm like, man, you got to do something to fix this.
Yeah.
Because you're not living at that point.
Yeah. we need to change, you know, this is sort of cliche, but changing the paradigm from healthcare to sick care.
Yes.
Or from sick care to healthcare, right?
Yes.
Like, and
be proactive.
And getting people to view their healthcare provider as being on their team.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of fear of healthcare providers because generally you go and you're sick and you get bad news. Nobody wants bad news.
Or it's the cost.
Or, yeah, why am I going to go and pay for this? Like, if they're not going to help me out or if they're not. And so I think part of what we're trying to do is change that paradigm where we want to be on the same team as our patients. We want them to use us as a way to help them. Right?
Yeah. Improve outcomes.
That's right.
John, any last thoughts with our audience here today? And we'll wrap this up.
No, I just think, first of all, thank you for having me on. It's been a true pleasure. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you today. I think, please, if you're interested, if you're an employer or patient, come visit us, vamoshealth.com, vamoshealth.com. We would love to take care of you.
What I admire is any entrepreneur, successful business, finds a problem, right? And you found a problem, and now you're providing a solution.
Yeah.
And there's so much to it, right? But it all starts with the outcome that you want to have for the member.
Yeah.
You know, you want them to live a happier, healthier life. Thank you very much for being on the show. And always, share, like, and subscribe, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Ty Brady Way. As always, share, like, and subscribe. Go to Instagram at ty.r.brady. And as always, love hearing from you. And let me know what you want to learn on the show or what you'd like me to bring up on the show. Thanks.
You can find the Ty Brady Way on Instagram as well as Facebook. To stay connected with giveaways and Ty himself, go ahead and follow at ty.r.brady on Instagram as well as Facebook. This podcast was recorded, edited, and produced by Whitney Face Media Marketing. The theme music is an excerpt from Hot Chicken of the Woods by Isaac Joel.